Hi, and welcome to the Group X-Files. This is the podcast for demystifying the secrets of becoming a successful group exercise instructor. I'm your host, Sarah Keller, and I can't wait to share with you the two decades of experience I have and what that's taught me in terms of leading thriving and full group exercise classes. Welcome to episode 7, Stop Making Excuses. Today we are going to look at the different ways you can raise the bar for yourself as an instructor and how that will then impact the experience your members have and will raise the bar for what they expect every time they walk into the studio. Welcome to episode 7. We are going to learn how to stop making excuses and instead start thrilling our participants every time they walk into the studio. When we take a job as a group exercise instructor, our job is not simply to show up, execute some work, and go home. There is a lot more implied every time we walk into the studio, whether we realize it or not. And sometimes we get kind of caught in a rut where we're not putting in our full effort, we're maybe not making the connections that we used to make with our members, we start to shift more towards doing the bare minimum. But let's be honest, when in our lives has the bare minimum ever been enough and ever been something to be proud of? Sure, in a lot of jobs, you can skate by with the bare minimum. You check all the boxes, you do all the things you're supposed to do, you clock in at the beginning, you clock out when you go home, and you don't think about that job until you clock in the next morning. But let's be honest, that's not enough in our field, right? In group exercise, it's not enough to clock in, clock out, and not think about our job when we're not at work. And I'm not suggesting that our job become our entire life. It should not be our identity, but there should be some happy medium wherein you take pride in what you do, and therefore, you always want to be better. You always want to do better. But that doesn't just magically happen by you clocking in and out every day, right? We talked in a previous episode about continuing education and why that was important and how that could help you become a better instructor. And that's a huge part of bringing a little bit more to the table and raising that bar for what your participants can expect. Because here's the deal. Sure, some of us work in a small studio where if someone wants to come at 9:30 in the morning on Tuesday, they have one option and one option only, and that is you. And if they want to get a workout, they're going to come to that class regardless of how good you are and what product you're putting out there. But plenty of us teach in facilities that at 9:30 on a Tuesday, you could take bar, you could take cycle, you could take some sort of cardio class, you could take a strength training class, you could take an aqua class. And maybe not all of these options, but there are options. People have choices. And when push comes to shove, if people have choices, they're going to choose what gives them the most benefit. And benefit is a very personal word. It means something different to each person. Someone might find the benefit of feeling like they're going to die at the end of class, and that might be the benefit that they're looking for. Someone might just want to smile for all of class. That's the benefit to them. Someone might go to class to see a particular person and catch up with them. That is the benefit to them. And we can't know every person's benefit, although we do get to know, let's be honest, right? When we get to know our participants, we know why they're coming to class. We know who's there to work hard. We know who's there to see their friends. We know who's there to feel good and improve their mental health. We know who's there because exercise isn't their favorite thing, but they know it's good for them, so they go anyways, right? We start to know who these people are. But if we're only doing the bare minimum, we don't know who these people are. We don't take the time to get to know them. We don't take the time to make connections. And then we don't see them on a regular basis. And it becomes that much harder for us to then learn these things and make those connections, right? If someone shows up once a month or once every 6 weeks, you may or may not recognize them. You may or may not remember their name. We know names go a long way, right? The moment you say, hey, Elizabeth, They know that you paid enough attention to know who they were and to remember them, and that becomes important to them. And they say, oh, this person cares about me. They're going to notice if I'm not here, so I should probably go back next week. And then I should probably go back the week after. Now, that said, noticing that they're missing only goes so far. They have to want to come back for whatever that benefit was they got. We are in the business of extertainment, whether you like it or not. Or you can call it entertaining, extertainment, whatever you would like to call it. That is our business. It is not show up, clock in, deliver a product, clock out, go home. It is keeping people engaged while they are trying to work out. And we know that about 80% of people do not like to work out. Some of those people will go because they know it's good for them and they are trying to avoid something, right? They're avoiding some other sort of health detriment if they don't go to the gym. But for a lot of people, they don't wake up in the morning and say, man, I can't wait to be destroyed in this class, or I can't wait to feel like my arms are going to fall off and have trouble walking the rest of the day because I lifted so hard. Like, most people don't think that way. There are a small percentage of us who truly and wholly look forward to exercise for how it makes us feel, for how it makes us look, for how it allows us to go through our daily lives. Like, not only do we understand the benefits on an intellectual level, not only do we feel the benefits on a human level, but we look forward to all that and we want to be part of making ourselves a whole human being who is healthy. And I'm not talking about that we have to train down to 5% body weight and that we have to be able to run a 5-minute mile. I am not talking about that at all. Each of us has our own definition of what healthy means for us. And part of that is just moving. And we know that people will move more often if they find some sort of joy in that movement. We talked about it on a prior episode, how giving members a little bit of autonomy in choosing how they execute different moves can help with that. And that's certainly part of it. But you have to do your part as the instructor to show up and to put effort in, right? Not do the bare minimum. The bare minimum, sure, is showing up, either knowing the choreography you created for a class or knowing the choreography that someone provided for you, Les Mills, Zumba, Soul Body, whoever provided it for you, right? That's the bare minimum. Know the choreography, know the music well enough that you can hit your changes in the choreography and deliver the product. And that'll get you so far because, let's be honest, especially if you're delivering a pre-choreographed program, a lot of work has been done for you. They've picked a great playlist. They've put together moves with people who have more time than you do to dedicate to creating the perfect choreography set. Or you might be very gifted at doing that yourself. You might be the queen of making banging playlists or the king of it. You might have so much knowledge and intelligence and experience in athletics and in group exercise that you write the most amazing workouts for people. So you've got that part taken care of. That's great, right? But that's like putting out the ingredients for a recipe on a counter and expecting them to turn into the most delicious thing you've ever tasted without you putting any extra effort into it. So if we work on raising that bar for ourselves, caring about things, then we start to raise the bar for our participants and what they can expect. And you might say, well, why do I care about this? Well, A, if you're asking yourself that question, this podcast is definitely a place for you because we want to bring your passion back to this. We want you to feel every time you walk in that studio, like, man, this is going to be great. I'm going to help these people. We're all going to move together. It's going to be the greatest thing for the next 30, 40, 50 minutes, however long the class is. It's going to be great. And I'm not saying that we don't have those mornings that we wake up and we're like, oh, I got to go to class. I got to teach. Not sure that's really what I want to do today. But then what happens? The moment you show up and start talking to just that first person, it's like we just need that one member interaction and we're locked back in. Our passion is there. We're good to go. We're going to make it through that class. And then we might be in that bummed mood afterwards again because life is lifey sometimes and it just gets to us. But we know for that time and space, once we make that first connection, we're going to just have an amazing time with the group that's present and we're going to be present with them. But if you're not getting over that hump when you show up and you have that first conversation and maybe that second conversation with a member and you still feel like you're dragging your feet, we got to take a step back and do a little introspection and say, why are we showing up in the first place? Right? If I'm just here to do the bare minimum, why am I here? And we could say that for a lot of things in our lives. So this might be way more philosophical than we intended to get to in a 25 to 30 minute discussion here, right? So be better. Do better. Show up for your people. They show up for you. The least you could do is show up for them. And when you're there, thrill them. Find some way to thrill them. It does not have to be laugh out loud funny, but some of us are very good at humor. So it might be humor and you might make them laugh a couple times throughout class. And that might be the way that you thrill them. It might be that you've got the most amazing dance sequence put together for your dance fitness class. It might be that you've got this great compound strength move that you can't wait to teach them. And they're going to go home and be like, man, I just crushed this thing. I didn't think I'd ever be able to do it. And I did it. So if we look at it in that context of how can we thrill them, right? That already raises the bar for us because we know it's not just about delivering something as it's written on paper. Any instructor could deliver a class written on paper. It's like when you have substitute teachers at school, right? Anyone can deliver whatever sub plans were left, but some people do it better than others because some people care more than others and they want the people in front of them to have a good experience, to have a memorable experience, to want to come back for more experiences. Our industry is all about the return visit. It's about creating, we call them in my company, raving fans, right? How do we get people to push past that point of, I know I need to exercise, but maybe actually to look forward to it from time to time? That's the key to keeping them coming back, is for them to look forward to even a little bit of it. Even if it's the rest of the class is really hard, but I love this 5-minute section of class and I'm coming just for that 5-minute section of class, they will come. Right? So if we start to do better than the bare minimum, we start to thrill people, get them excited to come, right? Because they have days just like us. They have days that they wake up and they say, I just don't want to. And they kind of have the option not to show up much easier than we do. Sure, we could call our boss and make up some excuse or I'm not feeling well, I got a migraine or blah, 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 whatever excuse we want to come up with. I can't come in to teach today. Our members don't have to phone it in to anyone. I mean, if we're at a boutique and they've paid for their class, they might have to try to, if they really want to get their money back for that class or push it off to another session. But for the most part, if we work at a traditional box gym where people just come to classes as they choose, there's nothing stopping them from being like, I don't want to, I'm not going to. So we have to give them that reason to want to overcome that like, ugh, I'm not really feeling it, but I know if I get there, it'll be worth my time. That's where we need to get with them. And we do that by taking pride in our work. If we're not taking pride in our work and we're just making excuses, what happens then? Then people aren't coming to our classes. Then we have to have that discussion where our boss goes, hey, Susie, we got to chat about your classes. I've noticed attendance is declining. All of us hate that discussion. The bosses hate it. The Susies hate it. None of us like to have that conversation. Instead, we'd rather be like, oh my gosh, congratulations. I saw you had a packed house the other day. We'd love to have that conversation. All of us would much rather have that conversation, whether we are on the boss end or the instructor end, right? We love those conversations. But quite often when we've got that bar set low, we've told ourselves a million stories as to why that bar can stay so low. I have this, I have that. Life is busy. I have a family. I have another job. This is just my part-time gig. At the end of the day, what are all of these things? Simply excuses. We make time for the things that we deem worthy of our time. And if our members are doing the same, making time for the things they deem worthy of their time, we got to stop making excuses for ourselves if we want them to show up to our classes. We have to stop saying, oh, I'm so busy with that. I'm so busy with that. It's the same thing budgeting your time as it is budgeting your money. A lot of people, if they sat and looked at what they spent their money on, right? That's very easy. You look at that bank statement, you look at that credit card statement, you know where your money went every month. And you can see, oh, I didn't realize where these extra few hundred dollars went because they went to A, B, and C that I wasn't really thinking about. The same thing happens with our time. We don't quote unquote have time for this, but if you actually had a readout of your day and what you spent your time on, like if you looked at your screen time on your phone, you'd be surprised at how quickly those few minutes here, few minutes there add up. And all of a sudden you had 2.5 hours in your day that you didn't even account for because they were kind of frittered away without purpose. And do we absolutely need downtime in our day to fritter around and do things that are essentially purposeless? Absolutely. We all need downtime. We can't feel like we are constantly 100% focused on life and moving forward. But if we don't have some sort of structured, I'm going to make time for this, we don't make time for it. It might be that we have to write it into our daily schedule. There are plenty of things, if I don't put them on my daily schedule, I won't get to them. And it's not that I don't like doing them, and it's not like they don't bring me some sort of joy, but the other things get in the way. It's the same thing we do with our workouts, right? One of the excuses that we make for not engaging our classes by getting our own workout during class, right? And focusing more on ourselves and what we need out of that workout than what our class gets is that, oh, I don't have time outside of my class to work out, right? That's one of the excuses we make for ourselves for that. But then if we actually looked at that time, we might find a way that we can get that workout in. We might find that way to spend 5 minutes looking for new content, to spend 5 minutes looking for that next hit song, spend 5 minutes rearranging your playlist so it feels fresh for your crew coming in the next time, right? There are little things we can do that don't take as much time if we use time as our excuse. We all have the same 24 hours in the day. I get it. A lot of us are doing a lot of different things. It is the way the world is today. I fully acknowledge that. But I also fully believe that if there's a will, there is a way. And you will find a way to follow your passions and to put your energy into it. So the moment we stop making excuses is the moment we start raising the bar. We will then expect more from ourselves. When we don't expect much from ourselves, we kind of coast along. And that's how you wind up in that rut in the first place, by coasting along and not expecting much from yourself. Oh, I just need to do A, B, and C today. That's it. But what about D, E, and F? That are cool, fun things, but I'll do them tomorrow. So we've got to stop making excuses for why we can't do better than we are. I don't have time to work on my form. It's too hard. Something's too hard. Something being too hard should be our biggest motivator to defeat it, right? If something is hard, how can I make it easier for myself? Our bodies do that by nature, right? Our bodies will find more efficient ways for us to move and try to make it so that our lives feel better through movement. So why don't we do the same for ourselves and take on that challenge and say, this is really hard. How can I make it easier for myself? The more I do it, in theory, the easier it will become. And I understand that that hard sometimes is just that big roadblock that you can't get past. But we can look at it the same way we expect our members to. We take baby steps. We break that big, hard thing into smaller steps. And first, I need to do this piece, right? If you're going out to run a marathon, that's going to be hard. But plenty of people do it. And what do? They start with that first mile. And that first mile might even only be a first lap around the block the first time they go out. It might not even be a mile. So if we take the big hard thing and stop making the excuse of it's hard, I can't. What if we looked at it as a challenge and figure out how we can? You're right, this is hard, but I can do it. I'm going to break it down into these small steps. And I get it. It's very ironic coming from someone with raging ADHD who sometimes has kind of task paralysis and looks at a simple task and says, there's no way. And it's not that I know I can't do it. It's just that I don't feel like it. So I do understand the irony of saying, take that hard task, break it into smaller pieces and say, I can do this. 100%, I can do this. It might take me a while, but I can do this. And the moment we shift that perspective and stop with the excuses, then we start to figure out how we can. How can I make more time? How can I break down this next skill that I'm trying to master? It might be a physical skill. It might be something less tangible, like it might be coaching, that you've been really stuck on how to get better at some aspect of coaching. Maybe you don't do great with motivation. Maybe you've nailed cueing, but you don't get the pre-cueing. You have trouble kind of talking ahead of the music to let them know what's coming next. It could be one of many things related to coaching and cueing. So maybe that's the thing you need to make more effort towards and figure out and stop making excuses of, oh, it's hard, or I just can't figure it out. And at the end of the day, we have mentors above us, right? We have people within our clubs who do the same thing we do. I would be shocked if any one of us listening to this podcast is the only instructor at their facility. Use your teammates. Talk to them. I do realize it's that time piece again. I don't have time. I don't have time. I don't have time. But maybe you do. And while you're sitting around, even if it's 5 or 10 minutes, sometimes that 5 or 10 minutes is all you need and someone just says something that lands with you. Maybe it's that you take another instructor's class. A, you get a workout in, and it is your own workout at that point because you're not leading the class. B, you can see how they're doing whatever it is you're struggling with. It could be coaching. It could be cueing. It could be some physical aspect of class. You can look at how they do it. Maybe it's transitions. How do you go from this part of class to the next? How do you go from this move to the other? But seeing someone else do it could give you ideas and make you feel inspired. And when we feel inspired, what do? We stop making excuses and we start taking action. And as we start taking the action, we become better at what we do. We become more motivated to continue doing what we do. And suddenly, our classes are filling. The classes are starting to fill because we are thrilling people. We're coming there with energy. We're excited about what we're doing. And we are executing at a high level. Right? Think about a Les Mills body pump class. And I use that as our example here because there are so many Les Mills body pump instructors. I would have to talk to my Les Mills rep, but I could almost venture that of all of the formats that Les Mills offers, they have the most body pump instructors out of all their formats. Could almost guarantee that and put money on it in this moment without talking to anyone. It is a very popular program no matter where you go. And it is a very prescribed program. You go in and track one is this, track two is this, track three is this. Sure, the music changes and the types of move you do, but if it's a chest track, you're doing certain things. If it's a squat track, you're doing squats, right? These things are in every body pump release. But if you took body pump 110 and you had 10 different instructors teach it, it would feel like 10 different classes because each of us is individual and you would know the instructors that were fully vested and that were trying to raise the bar, no pun intended, because you do raise the bar a lot in body pump, the rep effect. But you would very quickly discern who was doing the bare minimum to deliver their class and who was really challenging themselves and really coming at it with passion, with dedication, with wanting to truly execute the mission that we have when we walk in, which is making the people enjoy it enough that they want to come back the next time. And not only that they want to come back, that they look forward to it. That they sign up ahead of time if your place uses registration, right? You want to create the environment that they are setting the alarm for the moment that class opens for registration so they don't miss out on their opportunity. And if you're listening to me going, that's crazy, no one ever does that. We have an absurdly dedicated group of aquatics and bar participants at my club. And when I tell you they set alarms, I'm not kidding you. It would be like a Black Friday experience from like the 1990s in the height of Black Friday experiences when shoppers were just absolutely bonkers to try to get things. That's how these people are to get their classes. But that doesn't happen if you just have people that are setting the bar low and doing the bare minimum, right? This is because we've cultivated an environment where the instructors go above and beyond and they're constantly surprising their members, and their members can't wait to see what is in line for the next workout. And in order to do that, they set their alarm to make sure they get their spot in class. And some of these classes, I'm not kidding you, fill up in less than a minute. It's like sold out tickets to your favorite band. It's crazy. Only you don't have to pay like $600 to go see Taylor Swift or something. These are included with their membership, right? But that's the kind of energy we want to create. And that doesn't happen if we do the bare minimum. So we've got to stop making excuses for why we can't be better. It's not that we can't be better. We just might not want to take the effort. We might not want to take the time. And we'll come up with any other excuse for why we can't raise that bar. Why it's okay that we just do the bare minimum. And as long as we have that mindset, we have to take a step back and say, why am I doing this at all if I only want to do the bare minimum? Most of us in the Group X world don't teach as a full-time employment opportunity. So is that extra class or two of money a week? Is that worth the quote-unquote hassle if we're looking at it from the bare minimum perspective? Instead, we want to feel like, oh my gosh, I can't wait till the next time to teach. I've got this amazing thing that I want to teach. So we're going to do better. We're going to fill our classes. We're going to thrill our classes. We're going to take pride in our work, and we are going to stop making excuses and start being the instructor we know we can be. If you enjoyed today's episode, heck, even if you didn't, go ahead and hit that subscribe button, because we have plenty more group exercise instructor development content coming your way, and you want to get it while it's hot and fresh. See you next time on the Group X Files.